Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word.
If you watch the news at all, you saw something really tough to watch in regards to whether Judge Kavanaugh would be confirmed or not. It ended up there were accusations, and then there was testimony by Dr. Ford and Judge Kavanaugh. Both of them, to me, sounded very, very credible. And at the end, I thought, I don't know who to believe in regards to what had happened. And I started thinking about it, and I started reading the Bible. And in Luke chapter 16, towards the end of, verse 15, you are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of men, but God knows your heart. What is highly valued among men is detestable in God's sight. The only one that knows the truth right now is God. So what do? We take this to God and we pray that He makes the right decision for our country. What I pray for is that the laws for abortion are taken away, because I think that's something our country can be judged on.
Amen.
Yeah, thank you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray for all those that are hurting today. I pray for those that are sick, Lord, and those that are struggling right now, those going through cancer, those that are preparing for surgery, those that have those illnesses that the doctors just can't figure out. Give the doctors wisdom. Those that are struggling on what to do with their life, Lord. Those that are in depression right now, Lord. May they be bold enough to talk to somebody about it. May, Lord, if they have thoughts of suicide, may they open up to somebody. Lord, there are people that love them. They just don't know it. Would you be with all them, Lord? Would you be with us as a congregation, Lord, that we might live for you? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you. It's a simple little song, but I like it. It's got a message, and it invites you to come to the altar. If you put that off and you've been thinking about receiving Jesus, don't put it off any longer.
Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
These notes that are here are better than ones I had. We'll just put this aside for a minute. It was the last day of school, and the classroom was filled with six-year-olds. The teacher had already settled the grades, had done all the paperwork, and on the last day of school, she had a rambunctious bunch of six-year-olds ready to tear the place apart. So she decided that what she'd do is she'd give them an assignment that they might enjoy. So she said, I want you all to draw a picture of anything you want, and then we'll share it with the class. Well, everybody in the class was finished drawing but one little six-year-old boy. And the teacher said, excuse me, but what are you drawing? And he said, I'm drawing a picture of God. She said, no one has seen God. No one knows what he looks like. And the little boy said, they will after I finish drawing him. Isaiah gives us a wonderful picture of God that many of us have probably never seen or understood. And it's found in Isaiah. And in this lesson, we're going to learn that God talks, God teaches, and God trains. Okay, God talks, God teaches, and God trains. So I'd like you to turn with me. And the key verse is Isaiah 30, 21. Don't turn yet. I'll tell you when. And it says this. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Let us pray. Father, we're thankful that you are not just a hearer, but you're a doer. That what you require of us, you have already accomplished. And what we need from you, you already are ready to supply. You've given us all the gear we need to camp out in this world, realizing that we're headed to a city whose builder and maker is God. So we thank you and we pray you would speak to our lives. We thank you for those who made the sacrifice to come out on a day like this. We know, Lord, that it took an effort, it took a determination, and I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would touch the hearts of all of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Isaiah chapter 30, reading verses 18 through 22. People of Zion, who live in Jerusalem, will weep no more. How gracious he will be to you when you cry for help. As soon as he hears, he will answer you. Although the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, your teachers will be hidden no more. With your eyes open, you will see them. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. It's very interesting, isn't it? Israel at this time in history had been bullied. They were bullied by the major nations of the world. They were bullied and mocked and laughed at and made fun of. And they felt that they were certainly being picked upon and destroyed. And God heard their prayers. And here's what he said. He said, the day will come, you'll weep no more. When you cry for help, as soon as he hears, he will answer. Wow. Do you feel like you've gone through adversity in your life? Most people have. That's kind of a normal thing in this fallen world. But God promises the day will come, you will weep no more, and when you cry for help, as soon as he hears, he will answer. My brother Dennis couldn't swim, and we were at a scout camp. And he didn't want anybody to know he couldn't swim. So everybody would get up on this rope, swing out over the Thames River, and drop in water over their head, deep water, and they would swim to shore. But my brother Dennis would never admit he couldn't swim. So he took the rope. He swung out over the water, let go, and down he went, and he sunk like a piece of lead. Well, I was watching, and I knew that he couldn't swim. He was too proud to ask for help. And so I watched, and I watched, and I watched, and I watched, and I saw bubbles and bubbles and bubbles, and I thought, well, I'm going to have to go to the rescue, and all of a sudden he popped up. What he did was he was too proud to call for help, and he crawled along the bottom till it was shallow enough for him to stand up. I knew what was going on. I would have rescued him if I had to, but it's important that we learn to cry for help. God knows what's going on. God hears our prayers. He wants us to take initiative to bring him into our problems. He wants to hear it from us. He doesn't just want to control our lives. So, God promises the day will come, you'll weep no more. And when you cry for help, as soon as he hears, he will answer. Now that is a great portion of scripture. We understand that God teaches. We know that God talks and God trains. God teaches. Verse 20 says this, and you don't have to turn to this. Oh, the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction. Your teachers will be hidden no more. With your own eyes you will see them. And whether you turn to the right, verse 21, or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. The Lord says he gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction. Why? They're your teachers. The bread of adversity and the water of affliction are your teachers. And soon you will understand. Jesus understood that adversity and affliction were sent by God to teach you. Now, it says in Matthew 14, verses 22 through 24, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him on the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went upon a mountain by himself and prayed. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by waves because the wind was against it. Jesus actually sent his disciples into a storm. He sent them into a storm. Why? Because the storm would be a teacher in their lives. They would learn who was the master of the storm. They would learn who could calm the storm. They would learn who the creator was, who, when he spoke, the earth trembled and the raging seas were calmed. They would learn he was teaching. In John chapter 10, verse 27, it says this, my sheep hear my voice and follow me. How does God speak to us? How does he do that? Well, there are seven ways, and I'll explain that to you in a minute. But God speaks to us in various ways. But God speaks to us through our own voice. God speaks to you through you. The Bible says, my sheep hear my voice. Have you ever heard his voice? Have you ever heard his voice? How would you recognize it? God speaks to you through you. That's why everybody recognizes it. A good illustration of that was when I was in Bible college, and I've told you this before. We rented an old antebellum mansion, 10 of us. It was a great antebellum mansion, beautiful place, over 100 years old. And we each paid $10 apiece, which is pretty good. But one day I was in the mansion all by myself, and I heard the door open downstairs, and I heard footsteps coming up the stairs. And as I sat there paying no attention at all, somebody threw their arm around my neck and put a knife in my chest. The next thing they said was, deny God or I'll kill you. Well, my first thought was, this is a joke. Somebody's playing a joke. And then I realized I don't recognize the tattoos. So here's what I thought. Now, I was in pretty good shape. I figured if I could stall for time, I could take this person down or give him more than it was worth to him. So what happened was I said in my heart quietly to myself, well, God, here's what I'm going to do, God. I'm going to tell him that I deny you, but you know in my heart I'm not doing that. So I had memorized 250 scriptures. 250 is a part of a course I was taking on evangelism. Memorize 250 scriptures. So all of a sudden, the scripture that comes to mind out of 250 is, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before the Father, which is in heaven. Oh, of all the scriptures, could you give me a break? Then I thought, well, okay, here's what I'm going to do. God, if I'm called, I'm going to find out in a few minutes. So I said, I'm sorry, I can't do that. And the person just let me go and left. God was speaking to me. He was teaching me. Now, there's seven keys to hearing God's voice. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you the scripture reference, and I'm going to give you time to write it down. Are you ready? The first key is scripture. Like I said, the one I got was, if you deny before men, I'll deny you before the Father. So God uses scripture. The reference for that is found in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. So the first key is scripture. The scripture reference, 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. The second way is through the Holy Spirit. The scripture verse is Hebrews 8, verses 10 and 11. The second one is the Holy Spirit. The scripture reference is Hebrews 8, 10 through 11. The third one is a word of knowledge, 1 Thessalonians 5, 19 through 21. Now, I'm going to give you an example of that one so you know what word of knowledge is. When the early church was suffering persecution and they were being hunted down by Jews and Gentiles alike, what happened is they decided, because many of them couldn't find work and had to flee from their homes and their material goods, everybody decided they would pull their resources. So Ananias and Sapphira decided that they would sell their property, but they would keep a certain amount of it for themselves. So Ananias went to Peter and he said, listen, I've sold my goods and I'm giving the results of that to the church. And Peter said, why have you lied to the Holy Spirit? And he was killed. Whoa! Then his dear sweet wife comes in, and she comes in a bit later, and she says, well, we've given our resources to the Lord. And he said, why have you lied to the Holy Spirit? And she was put to death. Now, wait a minute. What's that all about? You have to understand, in the early church, it was very important that people understand, I believe they're in heaven. I have no doubt they were Christian. But what had to happen was people had to understand how serious it is when you make a commitment to the Lord. And listen, this scares me to death, and I'm glad I'm living under the grace of God and the mercy of God, because I need all I can get. But the truth is, I don't make promises to God anymore because I don't trust myself. I say, God, I'm sincere at the moment, but I don't trust myself at all. And so what I want you to know is, I need your help. Help me. So Peter received a word of knowledge. He couldn't have known that they held back a certain percentage. There's no way he could know that. How did he know it? The Holy Spirit obviously told him that. He said, why have you lied to the Holy Spirit? There is such thing as a word of knowledge. One, scripture. Two, the Holy Spirit. Three, word of knowledge. Four is good counsel. That's Proverbs 11:14. There's safety in a multitude of counselors. Good counsel is another way that we hear God's voice. Proverbs 11:14. Another one is through confirmation. Now, that's not the rite that we have in church. Okay, I want to explain what that word confirmation means by giving an illustration. Abraham and Sarah were well past the age of having children. They were a couple of not lambs, but a couple of old goats. And they had long given up any chance of having a child. And so when God told Abraham that he would be a father, Abraham kind of went, oh, yeah. And Sarah, who was well past her hubba hubba days, suddenly started to laugh. Now, here's the thing. God confirmed his word by making it come to pass. She got pregnant. She had a child. When God confirms something to you, it means he is going to bring it to pass. He proves himself. All right, so we've got scripture, the Holy Spirit, a word of knowledge, good counsel, and then there's circumstances. Now, circumstances, we're going to put circumstances and timing together. So the scripture part for circumstances, number 6, and timing, number 7, you can put those together. And the scripture verses Acts 18, verses 1 through 3. Now, to show you how circumstances work, of all the people in the world, how is it that you met your husband? Of all the people you could have met, could have come across, could be in touch with, of all the thousands and millions of people, what were the circumstances that produced you meeting that one person? Interesting, isn't it? Timing is also part of that. Now listen, you've got to understand a very simple principle. God talks, God teaches through adversity, and God what? Trains. Now here's something I want you to remember very carefully. instead of just taking your problems to God, take God to your problems. Instead of just taking your problems to God, take God to your problems. Now, let me give you a good example of that. 1 Samuel 17:48. I'm going to read it. 1 Samuel 17:48. The story of David and Goliath. As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. David ran quickly toward Goliath. Why? Because he knew God was with him. He brought God into his troubles. Many of us run from our troubles, and we don't face them. It's very important to understand. Take your problems to God, of course, but take God to your problems. You don't walk alone. I like the story I shared with you just last week, and I'm going to do it again. I had a friend who was 6'8". Remember the SWAT team, the Olympic team? Oh, man. Yeah, Carl Moffat, man. 6'8". And I remember walking down the street all 5 foot, blah, blah, blah. And I was walking along, and these guys were in the road there, and I just kind of thought, well, I'm going to be polite, but if they don't move, well, we'll give them the eye. So I walked up, and they just went, oh, and stepped aside. And I thought, I'd forgotten that I had a 6'8" powerhouse standing behind me. Sometimes we get a powerful God standing behind us, and we cower, and we run, and we hide. Don't just take your problems to God. Take God to your problems. It's so important for you. Now, I'm going to tell you the difference. God talks, God teaches, and God trains. Now, what's the difference between teaching and training? The difference between teaching and training. Teaching gives you knowledge. Training allows you to put that knowledge into use. So when you graduate from college, you've got all the knowledge. But when you take a job, they usually train you so you can put your knowledge into practice. One of the best illustrations of that was shared to me by someone this week. And it talked about a little 5-year-old girl that was on American Idol or whatever that show is. And she was 5 years old. And she was fantastic. She came out, boop, boop, boop. And everybody thought, oh, isn't she cute? And so they said, hey, listen, are you nervous? Oh, no. Are you frightened? No. He said, well, with all these people, does it scare you? No. And she was fantastic. All the right gestures, all the right song, all the right way to do it. She was just amazing. And what happened was one of the judges said, you know, you're just amazing. It's as though you have Shirley Temple living inside you. She said, oh, no, I've got Jesus living inside me. Okay. Now, let me tell you something. You know what? You've got Jesus living inside you. Have you ever told anyone that? Have you ever let that grip you deep down inside? Hey, listen, I've learned a long time ago that life either makes you bitter or better. What do you choose? What is God saying to you? How is God speaking to you? Mary had a little lamb. His fleece was white as snow. And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. And that's with me too. Let's stand together and pray. Father, we're so thankful that you speak to us and that you speak to us through Scripture and the Holy Spirit and a word of knowledge and good counsel and through circumstances and timing. Lord, we're thankful, but we pray that we would learn above all else not only to take our problems to you, but take you to our problems. And we thank you for this congregation, for the wonderful pastor we have in Tom and his wife Debbie. We're thankful for our elders, but most of all, we're thankful for this congregation and what you're doing in all of our lives together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.